This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this.
Now, that kind of talk this week dragged Australia's share market to a two-year low. There are, of course, complex reasons for that.
He was the big spender.
Doing the grocery shopping can take a huge chunk out of the family budget.
And that's finance.
Hello and welcome to a extra bonus episode this week of Comedian versus Economist. We felt there was so much to unpack with everything happening with the FTX saga that we wanted to give it a bit of room to breathe. So lucky you get two episodes from us this week. My name's Adam, and we're joined as always by my little older brother and real life economist, Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, real life crypto expert too, actually.
In the podcast world, you can be anything you want, much like crypto. Grab yourself a bucket of popcorn and settle in as we enjoy another episode of Whoa, Nobody Saw That Coming from the World of Crypto. Thomas, three words, FTX. What's going on?
Yeah, what is going on? Yeah, it just gives so much on the way up, so much on the way down.
So what's FTX?
FTX is a crypto exchange. So yeah, we'll go back to sort of first principles for a little bit just to catch people up, because it's all over the place, it's all over the news, but maybe you haven't fully got into all the detail of it. So forgive us if you're across this already, but we'll start with at first principles.
And maybe you've just been ignoring crypto by choice since the beginning. This is just like another one of those schoolyard brawls that kicks off and you're just like, I'm not even going to go and watch. The idiots are fighting again and something's going wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so FTX is a crypto exchange. A crypto exchange like Binance is, I think FTX is the second or the third biggest in the world. Binance is the biggest one, probably the best well known. It's a place where you dump your fiat into it and then trade between currencies, and then at some point pull your fiat back out.
So I take my Aussie dollars, I go and buy some Solana or some Ethereum or Bitcoin. I watch it tank, and then I take out less Australian dollars than I put in. That's been my experience so far, and the crypto exchange is where those losses happen.
Yes, that's right.
But it can go up, of course.
Yeah, so FTX is a crypto exchange. It has a particular bent towards derivatives and futures. Park that in your mind. That'll be important later. It issues a token called FTT, which is an interesting token because they issue it and then commit to buy it back if they make nice profits. So it functions like an equity in the sense of if the profits go up, then your token value goes up and you get a return. But totally was an equity because they didn't want to come under SEC governance by issuing equity. So very clever, innovative financial instrument.
This is crypto, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just working to their own rules.
It's like equity on the blockchain.
So it worked like equity, but it wasn't equity. That was the token FTT. Okay, so that's what FTX is. A couple of weeks ago, FTX was worth $32 billion. It had just raised some money at a valuation of $32 billion. Today, it's worth nothing. It's bankrupt. It's bust. So it's a massive wipeout of theoretical wealth in a very short time.
Like you put in theoretical wealth in there. So it's either a massive like economic disaster or someone lost a spreadsheet. Because it was like, it's like writing down my bank balance is $1 billion. and then I'd forgot where I saved bankbalance.xlsx.
Well, yeah, I mean, so no, there are definite losers who've lost real money. Like the asset managers that invested in FTX at that $32 billion valuation, like Sequoia Capital, Tiger Fund, SoftBank as well, picked another winner. they've lost real money. Their stake's gone to zero. But also the customers who had put their fiat into the exchange but hadn't yet taken it out, they've lost everything as well. Well, we don't know. Like they've declared bankruptcy. Administrators have been appointed. I saw one analyst saying customers will be lucky to get 5 cents in the dollar. They had money in FTX.
Wasn't it Sequoia Capital that basically came out and said we invested $230 million, but we now consider zero, that to be worth zero.
Yeah.
So this story is changing like by the minute. And I think also just after they declared bankruptcy, they also got hacked or might have got hacked.
Yeah.
But when I say it might or might not have been hacked, I mean people saw some money move because everything is recorded on the blockchain. Yeah. So people who were keeping an eye on it, obviously a fairly close eye on it as events unfolded, people saw tons of money start moving out of FTX. And then speculation, which is bread and butter for the crypto sphere, speculation then suggested, well, it's been hacked. But then some other people are saying, no, that's just the administrator moving money. And then some other people are saying, no, that's SBF or Sam Bankman-Fried doing some like moving some money so that to support his new lifestyle in the Bahamas or
Yeah. So this is the key character. So Sam Bankman-Fried, if you haven't come across it, he became crypto royalty quite quickly, and he was on the cover of Fortune magazine or Forbes magazine, and had a real hype built around him as being this visionary founder who wanted to use his crypto wealth for good. He built and owned FTX as well as 130 associated entities that we've learned from the bankruptcy filing. So like he had this sprawling kind of organizational structure that for a brief period of time had his net worth somewhere around $16 billion. So was very rich, but a lot of that wealth has evaporated. And I think he's arrested now. Last I heard, they sent someone around to the Bahamas and picked him up.
Oh, I thought he's in Argentina.
I think
he fled wherever he was, and he's now in Argentina. But they might have caught up with him.
That's what I heard. They caught up with him. But
so how did that happen? So we're talking about FTX going to zero.
Yeah. So FTX was doing some funny things. One of those was the token that worked like equity but wasn't equity. The other thing is that SBF. That's what they call him, had 130 different entities. One of those was Alameda, which was a crypto hedge fund. So sort of asset manager in the crypto space, taking punts on cryptocurrencies, trying to generate a return. That was Alameda. What it looks like it's turned out is that FTX had a backdoor installed in it that allowed SBF to move customer money from FTX to Alameda without alerting anybody else, without alerting auditors or anyone. Not that the auditors look like much chop, they look like cowboys too, but...
We're the crypto specialist auditors, you audit. Yeah. How long have you been in the game? About 20 minutes. This wasn't a job an hour ago. Nobody had this job as a crypto auditor. And now here we are.
Yeah. So Alameda was out in the market taking punts on crypto, leveraging, quite leveraged punts on crypto. The collateral it was using to make those punts was FTT tokens.
Right.
So on the balance sheet, they've got the collateral, which is these FTT tokens, which are linked to their partner organization, which they're sort of borrowing money from or funneling money from.
I think Alameda was the first one that SBF started. He started that as a trading.
That's right.
Like that was his trading account kind of setup. Mm. And then he decided I need an exchange, like a good exchange that'll take all my dodgy trades. So he's like, I'll just build my own exchange. And that's how FTX started. So there's intrinsically linked.
That's right. So that's super dodgy. The FTX customers had no idea that the money that they had put in FTX had now gone out the door, out the back door to Alameda to take punts on shitcoins. They didn't know that was going on. And it seemed,
I mean, they would. There's every chance they would have been supportive of it if they'd just been open about what was going on. Yeah. It's like, look, just to let you know, you've bought some FTT and we've got your money. We're going to use that money while we've got it. We're just going to use it. We're going to take some punts on some pretty rock solid tips that we've got. You cool with that? Like, sure.
I get a cut of the profits. Sure.
Yeah.
Get equity? No equity. Just okay.
No
sure.
Equity.
Just punts. All right.
Definitely profits though.
Yeah.
Even moon. You might even moon. Oh, I like moon.
So that's going on. So that's sort of that's the revelations that the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times are saying. And if that's true, I don't know. But that's fraud. That's just basic fraud, garden variety fraud. if that's what's going on.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, like, I've had a few people come out and just go, "What was he thinking?" You know, you've got FTX was handling high volumes, taking like a 2 basis point cut on every trade. It was a cash cow. Why would you put it at risk by fleecing it to run some speculative bets? Like, how greedy are you? This is sort of the question. It's like, how greedy have you got to be that you're willing to risk killing your cash cow just to make some extra profit somewhere else? Like, you're already $16 billion up. Like, really? Like, what? Like, just seems so greedy to the point of stupid.
Yeah, which is crypto. That's the slogan for crypto. Crypto, greedy to the point of stupid.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Yeah. I mean, and it's also like, how do you not have an exit strategy in this story, right? Like, how do you end up fleeing to Argentina or getting arrested? Either case, you're in trouble. Either do you not know what you're doing is illegal, and that might be possible, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like fairly vanilla fraud. Or you don't, you know. I mean, maybe like the weird thing around the FTT tokens operating like equity but not being equity, that might be just be something that someone just didn't know isn't appropriate or is borderline illegal. I think you could plead ignorance on that.
Well, I think the entire executive team at FTX, I think they had a combined experience of about 4.5 weeks of management of, you know, like the chief risk officer, the chief finance officer. I think they were, you know, they were
a bit out of their depth.
A little bit out of their depth. Okay. So the FTT token, so my understanding is that Binance came into it at this point, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they're doing this dodgy stuff and maybe no one knows, except maybe that Changpeng Zhao knows. So Zhao is CZ. Or do we say CZ because we're an Australian podcast? I'm going to say CZ. CZ is the owner of Binance, who's their biggest competitor on the market.
Don't mess with CZ. He took down SBF and FTX. Don't be dissing CZ and just picking your own name for him like some big... He'll take down this podcast. Quick as look at it.
Probably right. So he runs Binance, which is the biggest exchange in the industry, big competitor of FTX, also happens to own quite a lot of FTT, the token of FTX, which is a bit like Microsoft owning Apple shares. It's just a bit odd. And then, but at the start of the week, he comes out and says, you know what, we're just selling all of our FTT holdings. We just don't like it anymore. Something's off. We're out. We're getting rid of it. And everyone's like, whoa, okay. That's interesting.
I think not only did he do that, but Binance, which is the biggest crypto exchange in the world, also removed the FTT token from... You couldn't buy it on Binance anymore.
Oh, is that right?
So Yeah, so that was a massive that was a massive signal, market signal, along with we think it's shit, but we're getting out. From the head of Binance, from the head of the biggest crypto exchange in the world, along with that sentiment, they also said, we're also, you can't buy it here anymore. We think it's rubbish. And so,
yeah.
That then...
Markets read that.
Markets...
as a signal.
Yeah. Took that as a signal. And then everyone went and then, so I think they just went to try and sell... to liquidate their FTT, right?
Yeah, well, there was an interesting step in the middle of that where the CEO of Alameda, the hedge fund run by, you know, associated with SBF, came out and said they would buy all of Binance's FTT at $22 each at a fixed price in a private trade. So it's like, we'll take it all. We believe in it. We'll give it all. CZ went, yeah, nah, I think I'm going to sell it in the market. And I'm just going to wait until it drops. So it doesn't look like he got out of that trade. Do you know what I mean? Like he would have, like they own, Binance owned a lot of FTT. What you would normally do is sell all of your FTT without crashing the market somehow, like breaking up the trades, not doing it all in one hit, and then announcing after the fact, hey, we've sold all our FTT. He didn't do that. He sparked a panic and then sold into the panic. And so this sort of the interesting story there seems to be that SBF looked like he was trying to corner Washington. It looked like he wanted to be the go-to guy for crypto regulation. He wanted to be the person that was shaping crypto regulation in America. And he was doing that through big political donations, particularly to the Democrat Party, and then massive... marketing campaign, both of himself, and he sort of like had this whole persona and was getting all these puff pieces published and doing lots of things, but then also all the sports sponsorships, like FTX was, you're probably more across this, but didn't they own a football stadium or something? Or
this FTX was everywhere. In fact, I still saw them being advertised in the Cricket World Cup final last night. Still,
oh really?
The logo was on, yeah, it was on the TV last night. Yeah, they had sponsorships with Major League Baseball. They sponsored the umpires. They sponsored, what I love was the Mercedes F1 team. And the beautiful thing about that was that Mercedes were like, I don't know. I don't know that we need to jump into this crypto thing. I think we should wait like 18, 24 months. I don't know that this kind of whole space is where we want it to be. I don't think this is what we want to tie our brand to. And then someone within Mercedes was like, oi, seriously, if we don't get on now, we're going to miss the boat. And like total crypto FOMO. So Mercedes was like, all right, well, who are we going with? And they did their due diligence and decided that FTX was the best run crypto exchange to saddle up to. So they did that, and then literally not long after that, FTX falls in a heap. But this is the thing, this is the thing that bothers me so much about this, the sport tie up with a crypto exchange and general sports brand association in general, is all these like the official partner of Major League Baseball. Like FTX was the official crypto exchange of Major League Baseball. What does Major League Baseball need with a crypto exchange? I don't know. You see it in Australia. Like, did you know that Colgate is the official smile of the AFL?
Oh, my God.
Like, I get it. They have to be something other than the official cash provider to the AFL in exchange for product placement and logo promotion and whatever. But I don't know. It's all a bit false. It's all a bit sort of flimsy, kind of like, oh, we're the official breakfast cereal of the AFL. But it's worrying because the AFL has an official crypto exchange, which is crypto.com. And crypto.com this morning accidentally transferred $400 million to the wrong account. Like, so again, you go, why does the AFL need an official crypto exchange? I guess the AFL is probably in talks right now with Marsh, who is the official risk partner of the AFL. which might make a lot more sense off the back of the FTX and crypto debacle.
Is there really an official risk partner of the AFL?
Yeah. Marsh, wow. The official risk partner of that of the AFL, helping manage the official crypto exchange of the AFL, I'd imagine right about now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. No, I mean, they were FTX was everywhere. They had a, I think the Miami Heat renamed their stadium. They had naming rights for the stadium. Mm. They pretty much owned a couple of college football teams.
Yeah.
That was their marketing strategy, was to kind of get their brand out there through sports teams and then celebrities and influencers like Tom Brady, the quarterback for, well, famously with the, was it Patriots? Mm. He was like, I'm all in. Way to go, Tom. Yeah. I think he's still doing all right. That was just their marketing strategy, I guess.
But it was more than that. Like, he was really selling himself as the visionary, cryptos for good, working with government, not against government, that side of things. And I think, like, I mean, I think like why Mercedes sort of ended up going with them is because it looked like it was a perfect disguise. Like, why would you be pushing for regulation if you weren't dodgy? If you were dodgy, you know, you just wouldn't think so. Think like, oh, well, obviously the camp that's being noisiest about having appropriate regulation is the one that is probably least afraid of regulation. Ironically, they were doing heaps of dodgy stuff and would have been destroyed by regulation, but they had this.
Just turned out they were the least aware of regulation. They had the least understanding of regulation.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, look, so, let's can we pause here? There's a lot to get through. So on the other side of this, we're going to talk about the implications for crypto prices, for broader asset markets, and future of Bitcoin in general and crypto in general. As I say, there's so much. This story is got so much to give. There's so many different angles. Check out The Dive and also Crypto Curious from Equity Mates Media. They've both run stories on it. There's so much to get into. So yeah, stick around. Lots more coming up right after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. You're on Comedian versus Economist, a special bonus episode this week for you. We're talking about FTX, the crypto exchange that has gone under. So we've covered off, Thomas, what it is and how it came to be, and then also quickly how it came to not be. So I guess the question now is, what does it mean for crypto? What are the implications here for crypto prices, I guess, to begin with?
Yeah, well, let's start there. I've identified a few implications. And none of them are good. They're all. I mean, so the first thing is that saying, you don't know who's swimming naked until the tide starts going out. So that's, I think that's what we're looking at now in the whole crypto space. Is it's like you can get away with a scheme which is where you're funneling money from an exchange to a hedge fund to take punts when the market's going up and all those punts are paying off. When those punts stop paying off, then the hedge fund gets into trouble and the entities associated with the hedge fund get into trouble as well. Now, that might be because they're linked as owners, but it's also like, who was lending to Alameda? FTX was, but who else was? So whoever else was lending to FTX or any of the 130 entities in that mess, they're in trouble now too. So this is sort of how leverage unwinds, and there's no cover now because everyone's going to be checking, like, oh, who am I with? How stable are they? How exposed are they to these other players? There's a lot of dodgy characters out there. How, like, even if you think you're going to be rechecking that the partners that you're dealing with, particularly if you're lending the money to make crypto bets. Yeah, so that starts to unwind, and that has a freezing effect. You might have more collapses come out of this. That's the risk here. You know, we see more and more entities going bust on the back of this, because there's a lot of cowboys out there in the crypto space. Yeah, and Sequoia Capital, SoftBank investing in FTX, like they're not fringe players. Like they're names that people have heard of. They're talking this real money. That's the first worry, that you get more and more of these sort of, you see more naked people in the pool and more people never, going bust.
Never a good thing.
No, that's when you know it's, uh-oh. Yeah. The other thing is, like, there's this idea in economics called the deposit multiplier. So the central bank, the basic theory of money is the central bank creates money. They give it to the banks. So they create $100. They give it to the banks. The banks take $100. They lend out. They keep some in reserves, say $10, and then they lend out $90. So they lend that to you. You've now got money. You deposited in your bank. There's another $90 in the bank. There's now $190 in theory. They take that $90, keep 10%, and lend $81 out. There's now $270 in the system, and around it goes. And so it's called the fractional reserve system, and a lot of money, the money that's in the economy, a lot of that is created in the banking system. Not just it's what happens with central banks matters, but it's about what the banks do with it. So you've got a situation here where the money goes into FTX, which then gets lent out to Alameda and then gets leveraged into other bets. You have an expansion of the money supply based on this leverage. Does that make sense? And so, like, a look at the total market cap of crypto, you know, it's 800 billion or something. The basic story is that $800 billion from the broader economy has come into the crypto space. That's how that's often presented. Talk about how big it is. But it might not be that at all. It might only be that $100 billion has come into crypto, and then within the crypto ecosystem, it's been leveraged up and up and up and up and up into $800 billion.
Right.
I remember someone years ago talking about how Bitcoin and crypto was a deflationary currency rather than inflationary currency because supply is limited. Supply is not limited if there's no checks and balances on that deposit multiplier, on how much is getting distributed through the financial system through leverage. It can be you can have a very inflationary currency. That's not actually a thing, but it could be, in that language, a very inflationary currency. Depending on that multiplier and that leverage. So if there's a big risk off kind of flavor now in crypto, because everyone's like, whoa, things are looking dicey, we need to check ourselves, that could deleverage without sort of any money leaving the system. Crypto could itself just deleverage without any fiat being pulled out of crypto. Does that make sense?
So then crypto prices generally go down as the whole market is deleveraged, as people start calling in their debts.
Yeah, and that could happen without any individual in the crypto space thinking, I'm going to take my money out of crypto and put it in fiat.
Right.
Doesn't need to happen. You can have a collapse in crypto prices without any money leaving the crypto ecosystem. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, as much as anything you say does. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense.
All right, cool.
So I can't quite visualize it, but I kind of get it.
Sure. Yeah, it's like a souffle that's deflating. You haven't opened the oven, but it's still deflating.
Oh man, do I look like someone who regularly deals with souffle? I've got no idea what a souffle looks like.
Okay, so the third implication for prices is, what happens if everyone leaves exchanges? So a lot of people saying, like, see, you need your money in a cold wallet. You can't leave your money on an exchange. It's not safe. If it's not your keys, not your Bitcoin, whatever that saying is. Yeah. A lot of people saying, like, this is the proof, right? You got to get off the exchange. But what do exchanges facilitate? They facilitate speculative trading. You know, if you're going in and out and day trading currencies, you don't want to be going in and out of your cold wallet. You need to be on an exchange where you can execute quickly and nimbly. That's what exchanges do. That's why they're so popular.
They're also popular because it's easy. You know, like putting it in a cold storage wallet, or, you know, saving it on your computer somewhere and making sure that you're appropriately protecting your keys and all that.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And we've come to trust online services far too much, but we do.
Yeah, that's right. So the exchanges facilitate speculative trading. If everyone goes off exchanges because they don't trust them, and there's good, and like Binance now is the you know, the biggest character standing. There's been questions over Binance's money and management. We don't even know where Binance is located. So, it's hardly like it leaves a strong player standing. So if everyone goes off exchanges and goes like, okay, that's not safe, what happens to speculative trading? Because that's what they facilitate. Maybe that diminishes. I mean, in the extreme, exchanges evaporate, speculative trading evaporates. What happens to the prices of cryptocurrencies is speculative trading evaporates. Now, the price of a currency is determined by supply and demand. Demand comes from two places. You're either buying because you're actually using the currency in a transactional sense, or you're speculating on it. Now, look at Bitcoin. What share of daily volumes is speculative and what share is transactional? People actually buying stuff. Not much. 0.1% tops. I don't know. Like, it's a small number.
Yeah, yeah.
But the price...
pretty much just the population of El Salvador. But even I don't imagine they're having a great time of it, to be honest. Wouldn't surprise me if most El Salvadorians have just gone, yeah, no, we're not getting involved with that anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, if there's no speculative trading, where does the price of Bitcoin end up, right? Like, so the extreme is that it goes to zero because it goes to whatever value you need for that transactional thing. That's not going to happen. There's still people who believe in it, and there'll still be speculation on it. But...
Mm.
The point I've been making the whole time with crypto is, it's like, yes, you know, crypto is amazing, blockchain's amazing, but none of that, you can't then just jump then into like insane valuations for the currencies, for the coins themselves, because there's a lot that needs to be unpacked for that, and that sort of value discovery. You don't know what the true value is until the speculative trading stabilizes, it becomes a, you know, steady portion of daily volumes.
I loved Warren Buffett's quote. He said, I wouldn't give you $25 for all the Bitcoin in the world.
Yeah.
That's where he pegs it.
That's right.
Even with all of his wealth, he's not even taking a punt with $25 on all of Bitcoin.
He's willing to break a 50 for it even.
So that's crypto prices, and I guess the... Is there then broader implications for the rest of asset markets?
Yeah, the thing I reckon about this is, I reckon this is the end of the Happy Gilmore phase of markets. So Happy Gilmore was that Adam Sandler character, played golf.
Classic movie.
Yeah. And, you know...
Get in the hole. Go to your hole. Sorry. I'm just reliving. Small snippets of that movie in my head.
Yeah, but so Happy Gilmore came to golf, brought like total disrespect for the institution of golf, and won. You know, meme
That's
stocks.
Like John Daly.
Yeah. So meme stocks and crypto were the Happy Gilmore trades of the past 5 years or whatever. They're cases where people went in and go like, I don't give a stuff about the institutions or the rules, I'm just going to do my own thing. And for a while there, all the Happy Gilmores were happy. They're making money and things are great.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people who bought into GameStop at $250 a share. There's people who put all their money in FTX. You know, there's people, you know, who bought Bitcoin back when it was 69,000. They're all hurting right now. And I think it's sort of like, it's a bit of an awakening. And I think, you know, the technology moved. It was a technology-driven movement in the sense of like Robin Hood trading and then FTX and making crypto trading easy, and people got into it. And for a while it was all good. And then you realize like, actually, there isn't easy money. There's no free money. You know, if you want to be a Bitcoin crypto trader, the crypto day trader, you need to have some amazing systems. It's not just get everyone in and good times and Lamborghinis for everybody. So it's sort of like, I think it's a maturing of the market in general, but I think it means that we're probably past seeing Happy Gilmore booms, you know, like GameStop and crypto. Those booms were driven by sort of people going in and going, yeah, whatever, we're sticking it to the man, you know, taking it to Wall Street. And it's like people go, actually, no, we didn't take it to Wall Street. We didn't change the game. We just redistributed wealth in a weird way, and a lot of poor people ended up poorer.
Right. Well, that's quite a good explanation, I think. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that keeps just keeps bouncing around in my head is that we've been here before. We're just in the trough of disillusionment. We just need give it a few months, let this all calm down. Just that get that hype cycle, start building again, and off we go.
Yeah.
Because crypto had a big, you know, we're still just coming off the big spike in crypto of the pandemic crypto. Before that, there was another spike where everyone made heaps, lost heaps, and then they said crypto's dead, that's the end, forget about it, all go home. And then the pandemic hit and suddenly everyone was like, well, I reckon crypto is where it's going to, you know, this is the solution.
Yeah.
And it all kicked off again. So
I think that's true, but I think there's technology was a factor as well. And I think, like, you know, in the 2017 boom or whatever, there wasn't a Binance, there wasn't an FTX, there wasn't apps where you could just, where, you know, every, you know, Joe Average could make trades.
Well, wasn't there? I bought some during that time.
It was different. It was harder, I reckon. I mean, it wasn't hard.
No, I remember going back to the CoinSpot account that I opened in 2018 when it all started kicking off again in 2021 or whatever, 2020, and just being like, "Oh, I've got some, I've got some Ripple still floating around. Look, it's gone up 300%. Made $28." So, yeah, no, I think that those platforms were around. That, I don't know. I think I hear what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying.
You need something to level up the market. You need to pull more people into it, you know, and it just gets harder and harder. The cost of acquisition for crypto as a space is getting higher. You know, you've had crypto sponsoring footy teams. Everyone knows about it now. Everyone's watching it go, you know, people get burnt. They're not going to be just jumping in next thing going, yep, this is going to the moon. They're going to be jumping in going like, this is a boom and it will bust some point. You know, that's the maturity. That's the new thing that'll be in the next cycle, is that people in the cycle will be aware that they're in a cycle.
Maybe. Not if we get in early, if we get into the schools. get some grassroots crypto programs going on.
Official sponsor of maths.
Crypto.com there. Official crypto exchange of Brighton Primary School. All right. Okay. I reckon that does it for this one. Hopefully that's given you a good overview of what's happening in the crypto sphere at the moment, why everyone's talking about FTX. As I mentioned, check out Crypto Curious and The Dive for even more on the FTX story. Bryce and Alec covered it as well on Equity Mates Investing podcast just briefly this week. So if you're interested at all, check out those other podcasts. And of course, don't forget to tune into Comedian versus Economist this week as well, releasing not just this one, but two podcasts this week. So make sure you tune in for the regular show as well. But that's it from us. We will catch you next time on Comedian versus Economist. Bye for now.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs, and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.